Hi, I'm Chris Evans with the City of Ames. The Ames City Council has made a commitment to valuing environmental sustainability. There are many City of Ames programs that support this goal. Some of them may not be things you're aware of, so we're using this opportunity as part of Earth Day appreciation to highlight various department projects, programs, and services. My guest today is John Dunn, who serves as the Director of the Water and Pollution Control Department. The community may know that the department is home to the water treatment plant and the water pollution control facility. John, could you take a few minutes and share with us maybe some other things your department does that relate to sustainability?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, and particularly thanks for the opportunity to talk about the things that we're doing outside of our treatment facilities. You know, we really try to extend sustainability into all aspects of our projects and programs. And there's three of them that I'd like to highlight for you. The first is the Lowhead Dam modifications in North River Valley Park. Our source for drinking water here in Ames is an alluvial aquifer, and it's an exceptionally high quality water source, but it is subject to negative impacts due to drought. And it was during an extreme drought in the mid-1970s that a plan was developed to install a sand dam on the South Skunk River just north of East 13th Street. And the reason that was proposed is because that reach of the river is the primary recharge zone for our downtown wells. So the thought was that if we were to pump water out of the lakes at what is now Ada Hayden Park, pump it from the lakes and into the river and allow it to pool behind that dam in this recharge zone, that would augment the recharge of the aquifer and help to replenish our well capacity. So they tried that out during that drought period, and it worked so well that a few years later, they came back and they constructed a permanent Lowhead concrete dam. And that dam worked perfectly, and it continues even today to be a critical part of our drought management plan. However, Lowhead dams unfortunately come with some negative impacts as well. They pose a migration barrier for fish. So it makes it's essentially impossible for some fish species to be able to migrate upstream past the dam. And just because of the nature of how a Lowhead dam is constructed, it can create a deadly hydraulic recirculation that can capture a boater or somebody just having some fun out in the water. It can capture them and cause them to drown in just a foot of water or so. So we have just wrapped up a project that addresses those issues. And the way we did it was to modify the design of the dam by placing a series of rock weirs on the downstream side. And what that does is it breaks up that uniform hydraulics, and it makes the dam much safer for boaters and other people who are recreating in the water. It also provides some modest whitewater rapids for kayakers to be able to get in there and enjoy and play around in. And we also installed a series of small pools that incrementally climb up and over the dam. And it's a design feature that's referred to as a fish ladder. And that will enable fish to move upstream past the dam. And we also made a number of improvements to the river shoreline in North River Valley Park. And that takes an area that had previously been fenced off to keep the public away from the river. And we've converted it into a very inviting space that actually welcomes people to come right down to the river's edge. A second project to highlight is one I'm sure you know all about because you're helping us lead this project up. But this project is one we're about to embark on, and that's the demolition of the old water treatment plant on East Fifth Street. And we've tasked our design team working on that to put together a demolition plan that maximizes the amount of materials that get recycled from that building as it's removed from the site. So it's like salvaging the copper and other metals that, that have value and that can be recycled, and pulling those away and separating them from the portion that needs to go to a landfill. And we're even hopeful that we can do things like salvaging those 100-year-old bricks and incorporating them into a new training space that's going to be built on the site. So, you know, maybe they'll either, you know, form the walls or some pervious pavement, but somehow we want to incorporate that into the design of a new repurposed space. Then a third project that I'll share might actually be one of the most exciting ones. It's certainly one of the most unique things for us. And as an organization, we're proud to be doing our part to help the state achieve the goals that were laid out in the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy. And to do that, we are transforming our water pollution control facility to a treatment method that will allow us to harvest nitrogen and phosphorus from the water that we treat before it's released back into the environment. And that's a $40 million investment that will actually begin in about a year. But going beyond that, and this is, I think, kind of the exciting part of it, is we want to take a look at what we can do outside of our fence to foster other projects throughout the watershed that will further reduce the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that's making its way into the South Skunk watershed, and particularly areas in Ames and upstream of Ames. And the cool aspect of this is that these projects are going to come with a whole host of other benefits too. They're going to come with things like improved habitat, improved hunting and fishing and recreational opportunities. It'll increase some source water protection for the drinking water utility. And it's also going to provide some measures of improved flood mitigation, which we know is an important consideration here in Ames. So all of this work outside of our own facility is really a first for us. It's the first time that we're aggressively taking on water quality challenges outside our fence. And it really goes beyond what the goals of the nutrient reduction strategy lay out for a facility like ours. But it's something that when we proposed this to the Ames City Council, they really embraced this idea, so much so that they asked us to be even more aggressive in the size and scope of the work that we're going to undertake as a part of this effort, making those water quality improvements throughout the Skunk River watershed.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. It's neat to see the benefits for the utility, but also ways that will benefit the community and surrounding areas.
Yeah.
So another thing that I've seen around Ames is something called the Smart Water Conservation. And I've seen lots of signs, and I've even seen a water trailer. Could you share a little bit about what this program entails?
Yeah, so that Smart Water program is a program that we started more than 10 years ago. It's probably almost 15 years old now. And we did it because we know that in Ames, our demand for drinking water jumps by more than 75% during the summer. And that's not because our population is growing in the summer. It's actually quite the opposite. That peak comes from outdoor water use. And peak water is, incrementally speaking, the most expensive water that we have to produce, because we have to build and maintain that treatment capacity and that well capacity for a level of demand that may only be there a few times a year. So in 2007, we started this program designed to help soften those summer peaks. And it's really a two-pronged effort that we use. The first prong recognizes that some consumers are motivated by pricing signals. And because that peak water in the summer is our most expensive water to produce, it stands to reason that it should be more expensive. So here in Ames, we have a seasonally inclined block rate structure, which is a fancy way of saying that during the summer, the more water you use, the more expensive each additional gallon of water becomes. Now, for those who don't water their lawns or that they water only sparingly, they would have no way of knowing by looking at their bill that we've got an inclined block like this, because they wouldn't experience those higher rates. But for those who do want to water heavily, we're happy to provide that service at a price that reflects our cost to produce the water. So that's the first prong of our smart water effort. But the second prong recognizes that there's another set of customers and consumers that will respond if we just provide them with information. And this is really what the heart of our smart water marketing campaign does. We don't tell consumers that all outdoor water use is bad, because it isn't. But we do ask those consumers to be more conscientious, or to be smart, if you will, the smart water, with how they're using that water. For example, while many people like the look of that lush, thick green lawn, if it's being overwatered, it can actually damage the lawn and make it very susceptible to hot, dry conditions in a drought, because it causes those roots to stay shallow. So what we try to do is just educate folks that if you do choose to irrigate your lawn, do it in the morning when evaporation is not as big of a challenge. And then make sure that you're only adding 1 inch of water per week. And that's after accounting for any free irrigation that Mother Nature provides. We also ask consumers to do things like making sure that their sprinklers are functioning and they're pointed in the areas that they want, and only watering the areas that they want. Because, you know, as you know, it doesn't matter how much you water your sidewalk, you're not going to grow any additional concrete.
Yeah, that's definitely not something I need, is more concrete. So thanks for the tips, John. So you and I both enjoy what we do, and we enjoy working for this department. If there are other folks who are passionate about the environment or about conservation, are there opportunities for them to come join us?
Good timing on the question. You know, working in the water environment field is not one that a lot of folks necessarily think about as a career option, but this field presents a lot of really attractive benefits as an employment and as a career. It gives an opportunity for somebody to do real, meaningful work that serves their community. Because after all, the way we live in Ames wouldn't be possible without the services that we provide. It also, in a real tangible way, helps preserve and protect the environment. And it also can be a very stable career for you and your family. So if anyone is interested, we do have some positions open now. And as a result of some upwards promotions, we expect to have some additional job postings that will be going out in the very near future. So if they're interested in that at all, I would highly suggest that they jump on the World Wide Web there and point their browser towards cityofames.org/jobs. And they'll find some positions that are open right now, not only in our department, but a lot of really really cool opportunities and other aspects of this, the City of Ames organization as well.
Great. What an exciting opportunity. Lots coming up. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Again, my guest is John Dunn, Director of Water and Pollution Control. Thanks, John, for your time.
Yeah, Chris, thank you.